This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Shop Tommy John's Friends and Family Sale right now and get 25% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey there, Good Doctor fans. Tonight's episode saw our surgeons and residents discussing their religious beliefs or lack thereof. Glassy is done with chemo and Sean is sadly in pathology, but he finally was able to stand up for himself. There's so much to discuss, so don't go anywhere because the Good Doctor After Show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, Good Doctor fans? Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We have so much to discuss because we are talking Season 2, Episode 16, Believe. And joining me today, we have the amazing, the lovely, she brings so much to this panel every single week. She is Jamie Alexander.
Thank you. Thank you for making me feel so special.
I loved the kissies touch.
Yes, I know.
It adds so much.
Yeah, I was just feeling like I, you know, wanted to give you a little pageant wave.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
And everyone, I'm Veronica Valencia. Today, of course, we are going to be talking about Sean's new journey in pathology, Glassman and Debbie reconnect, kind of, sort of, and of course, everything going on with Claire Morgan Melendez and their beliefs. We'll also be highlighting another Good Doctor, but before we get into any of that, Jamie, what do we think of this overall episode?
Yeah, overall, I thought it was a really great episode. I have to say, this was an episode that jumped around a little bit more than what I'm used to. So it wasn't a bad thing, but like in the beginning, I don't know, it was just written differently, I think. In the beginning, I feel like we went through so many different things and didn't know what was going on. I don't know, it was just a little different. I love the topics and everything, but it did jump around a little bit more than usual. But I still enjoyed it overall.
Yeah, I like that you brought the fact that it jumped around because I kind of felt that way too. And I think I noticed it because when I was writing in my notes, trying to come up with sections, you know, specific characters to talk about, it was like, okay, it goes from Sean and Leah, then it goes to, you know, Lim Claire and Sean, and then Park and Sean, and then, you know, Glassman and Sean, and, you know, Claire Morgan had their own thing going on. So it was like everyone kind of had a moment in someone else's story this episode, which was nice because I feel like, you know, there are so many episodes that they're all kind of separated. So it was nice, even if it was for a second, to see them with each other.
Yeah, very true. Great way to put it. That's pretty much what we had going on. So, but I did enjoy the episode. It was touching in a lot of ways. I liked the way they brought a little bit of divinity into it by, you know, talking about God and miracles and things. Because, you know, I do believe stuff that's unexplainable by science does happen. So it was just nice to have that little morsel of divine entertainment thrown in there.
Yeah. Well, let's jump right into it with the biggest story probably this episode, with Sean and him going to pathology. Now, were you surprised at all that kind of this episode started with him automatically just going there, kind of already be taking out of his surgical residency?
Well, no, I kind of expected it because it seemed like Han was very... He wasn't wavering. He wasn't thinking about it. He was like, this is where you're going. So I kind of expected the show to open up, and I was really anxious to see what pathology looked like for him. So I did recognize the actress. She's really cute. She's from Scandal. I don't remember her name, but the girl with the curls in pathology. So I was really excited to see her, which is a new character that maybe we'll get for a little while. But I still felt sad. I felt sad through the whole episode for him. Like, I was just... bothered by. We had a moment where it was like, oh, I'm glad he's really excited about the little G3 printer machine or whatever it was.
Yeah, the technology that I don't remember the name
of. Yeah, I'm like something, but that really gave me hope for a second because it kind of opened with that. And I'm like, okay, he's kind of excited. And I really love that because maybe he will get a chance to work with, you know, in something that he wasn't sure he was so excited about. But it just got more and more sad as the episode went on.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, talking about jumping a lot, like in the beginning, I was like, okay, he seems very happy about, you know, being able to work with technology that maybe he wasn't able to work with before as a surgical resident. So that's awesome. But I think that was like the only glimmer in that entire story where he felt happy. The rest of it, he was just like, clearly Sean does not feel like this is where he belongs. And Han is very much sticking to his guns, coming in and kind of already, you know, making decisions, which I don't know. We talked about this.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Shop Tommy John's Friends and Family Sale right now and get 25% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Last week and how it just seems a bit odd that he's already so bold as to make these decisions. Like, he's not really given Sean any time to see, like, if he should stay a surgical resident or not.
Yeah, I mean, well, I did really appreciate the conversation, again, between him and Lim. Han and Lim have this great dialogue, like, to, you know, it, somewhere near the beginning where... I think last week we talked about this, that maybe we would get more of a perspective from Jackson Han and why he decided that. And he made some valid points. Like, yeah, Sean is great as a surgical resident, but what is he going to do as a surgeon? What is he going to have to do when he makes decisions like this? What is he going to have to do when, you know, and he started kind of naming some of the larger aspects to being a total surgeon. So I understand that part of things. But then what he also... I felt convicted, like, with us, because we like Sean, and, you know, Han even told Lim, she basically, what did she say, do you have a distorted view of Sean? Because she's like, well, is it fair to say that you don't really know him? And he's like, well, is it fair to say that you're saying this because you have a distorted view because you do know him? They both really had valid points. It's not, I really don't agree with Han at the end of the day, but his point was valid.
Yeah, I think both of their points were valid. And at that moment, it's kind of like, well, which side do you go on? Because Dr. Han clearly does make very good points in that Sean has a lot of growing before he can be on his own and handle a lot of things on his own. Whereas Lim is saying, oh, you know, I do know him. I've spent more time with him and working with him, so I know his incredible capabilities. And she knows, obviously, more than Dr. Han where he started from and where he is now. And so it's like, when she said, oh, it's because I know him, I'm like, well, it makes sense. She's seen his growth. She's seen how he can get better, whereas Dr. Han hasn't. So, I don't know, this whole distorted view of, you know, liking Sean and seeing him as a person is kind of, it's kind of hard because it's like, yes, you know, he's, as an audience, he's our protagonist. We're rooting for him.
Right.
But even from Lynn's perspective, it's like she's just, as a surgeon, she's seen his growth.
Yeah. And, you know, one other dynamic that I noticed was like a little mini undercurrent in this episode is women's intuition, what a woman brings to a job and a role and relationship that men don't have. You know, we're different. Yeah. I believe, because I know some people are like, you know, have different beliefs, but I believe men and women are different, not only anatomically, but I don't want to mess that up. And we're on a doctor show. I could at least say that right. But, you know, we're different in that. But I also think for Lim to recognize, she was like, oh, well, we could work with him. And that's where my little soft heart goes. And I think because we're able to see, I would choose to work with Sean because I'm looking at his value over his disability, so to speak, disability. Mm-hmm. And I think it is a little bit more of a feminine trait to just kind of be a little softer. Like, well, we can help him through that. We can nurture him through this. And I do think that's the kind of thing he needs. Like, sure, maybe he's not going to be, you know, what Andrews is to The Office. Fine. But we cannot deny that what he does bring to the surgery room is not super powerful. And maybe he doesn't need somebody over his shoulder the whole time. But is it so wrong to just have a little bit of a help on a team that knows you and knows your strengths and can really support you and usher you into a good, to be a good surgeon? Like, isn't that what a surgical residence, isn't that the point? So they can learn and grow. Yeah. So I think that's a part that she's seeing from a more feminine side that Han is not. Mm-hmm. He's more logical, more cut and dry, a little bit more hard when it comes to that.
Yeah. And what's interesting too is when I was seeing some of the comments from Good Doctor fans, and they were actually bringing up both sides too. And I feel like this is an episode where we can see a lot of both sides, points on either side, because some of them were saying, you know, they were with us in that from the beginning, Dr. Han is not likable, but then again, we don't know this character as much. Maybe they will grow on us. It's kind of like how Morgan started. She, you know, had a hard exterior, but she has grown on us. So some of them are like, oh, I don't like Dr. Han for what he's doing to Sean. Then other people are on the other side with Dr. Han, where yes, you, these are things that you need to become aware of and you need to work on. And it's just, it kind of does bring a point of, okay, time, how much time should he give him?
I mean, it's really hard to say because it's his performance. He outperforms every time. And what breaks my heart about it is like, I feel like he's continually proving himself when he doesn't have to. And the part that made it really sad, as I forgot about, is the little tool from his brother that he keeps in the cloth. Like, that's a little bit, that's where he's supposed to be. That's like his thing, you know? So it's more than just being removed from being a, you know, surgical resident. Like, there's just a lot going on emotionally with Sean that is just, I don't know. I think it's sad and unnecessary and I don't like it.
Well, we talked about Dr. Lim kind of supporting Sean and being against Dr. Han's decision. Let's go into Claire defending Sean, because I liked how this episode, you know, surgeons and residents both came to Sean's defense and how Claire brought him a book of all the cases that Sean played a very important role of. And I don't know, I really liked how all of them had his back and how all of them have seen his progression as a surgical resident.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I love Claire because she gets in them books and comes with those reports,
yeah,
doesn't
she?
Does. Like, she's always ready to go. And I love that. And I love how she left it. And I love that all of them rallying for Sean is something that Han can see and understand on different levels. Like, they're hitting him from all angles. It's like, Lim is like, what are you doing? Claire is like, what's going on? You know, so he's seeing that the team is really rooting for Sean. And I like that she brought those cases because it's relevant. Like, before you make too much of a decision, look at the case, you know, so to speak. And I just definitely think that it's just tough because, like you said, we're getting both sides now. And for Han to explain himself, it's like, I get it. But how do you convince him otherwise? I don't even know what would you do to try to convince him otherwise? Like, Claire is the queen of the books and, you know, reports. So that was great. Lim brought up some great points, but I don't know what I would try to do to sway this man, because that's what they're doing at this point.
Yeah. And if I was in their position, I would probably do what Claire did. And, you know, with Dr. Lim, she is the surgeon, so she has a little bit more authority in being able to speak with him.
Yes.
Whereas Claire, she's just a surgical resident, so she needed to come prepared and with a point to make sure that she was heard. And so if I was in this position, I would probably do what Claire did and bring out all of the hard evidence that showed how essential Sean is.
Yeah.
And I thought that was awesome. But the one thing that bothered me about this exchange was how Han commented towards the end of, oh, like, I question my loyalty. Or so, he said something about her loyalty. And I don't know, that bothered me in the sense that I think he is coming, and granted, we don't necessarily know how much time has passed between him coming here and this episode. But I feel like he's just coming in and making no effort to really understand what's going on. And granted, yes, he's the new chief of surgery. You have to obey the authority.
Right.
But I still think that he's coming in too hot and just making all of these changes without really trying to understand the workflow and how everything has been established at this hospital. He's like, oh, I question your loyalty. And it's like, you partly worked with Claire as far as we've seen.
Yeah, because as far as loyalty, yeah, my loyalty would be to somebody I've known longer. We're surgical residents. My bond is with them before, you know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I got a little bit of a smart mouth, so maybe, yeah. You know, I don't know if I would want to be in that position. But he also said something in the beginning, which was a little funny. He's got a little smart mouth himself, mm-hmm. like, oh, I've heard you bucked up against authorities
yeah.
before or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, are you coming in here to do that now? And she's like, no. It's like, but kind of, you know,
yeah.
She has her own ways of doing things. So I really like that. But you're right. He's coming in so hot without looking at things. And it's kind of the same thing I was saying last week with leadership. You want to know your team, see what's going on, see the flow, understand, and then make moves accordingly because the team should be your priority. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but maybe he's chief of surgery because he... It's just so, I don't know. I'm
yeah.
still like going round and round with this in my mind.
Yeah.
Because it's two different sides to the coin.
Let's jump into kind of how this storyline took a turn with Sean being able to find the right diagnosis for Dr. Park and Dr. Lim's patient, which they thought it was a very dangerous, highly progressed cancer. And it turned out to be like a parasite.
Yeah, which is that whole situation annoyed me because it was just like, you know, Han is so concerned about how do you communicate with the patients. And you just looked at this woman and Sadie Burns. What was
yeah,
her name?
Sadie. Her name Sadie.
Sadie Barnes. And told her basically she was going to die and there's nothing she could do. How long did that time pass before Sean was able to make a discovery?
That's rude. Such a good point.
Yeah.
That basic, like, yeah, they might have gave her the news in a sensitive fashion, but that's all they did was like, oh, we assume that she's dying. So we're going to tell her that she's dying. And this patient had a lot of stress. And this...
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
That could have been said about the exact same thing that happened last week with
right.
the mom where she got news that caused her stress. And that wasn't necessarily the case because that wasn't necessarily the case of what happened with her daughter. This clearly isn't the case of what happened with Sadie. Oh, such a good point, Jamie.
Yeah, so that's really not fair. But then when it, you know, and another thing when it comes to that too, it's the woman and man dynamic when it came to Park and Lim. Because, which, I just love Lim because she's strong, but mm-hmm. she's still just so woman. And you know how women are. We're intuitive. We're nurturing. Like I said, there's things about us that are a little bit different than men. And she had to stop Park off. Like, if this girl said she had a premonition, like, you can't discredit that. Like, you know, mm-hmm. She said it a couple of times, and I think Park kept trying to make excuses like, oh, well, maybe it's this, and then, well, maybe it's that, and then, well, maybe, and Lim cut him off, like, mm-hmm. let's do the tests. Like, if she believes that something's wrong, like, we have to acknowledge that as well. So I think that was another little moment where, again, this team needs each other.
Yeah.
Nobody is more really qualified than the other. They all have their strengths, and that's why they work so well together, including Sean,
mm-hmm.
because there's all these things that are going on, and when they're partnered up, they balance and bounce off of each other very well, and they need each other. Because if Park had been the only one in the room, would Sadie Barnes have even gotten the scan for her brain?
No,
because he was ready
not.
To shut it down.
Yeah.
He was just like, well, mm-hmm. that's, you know, the feeling of dread. The feeling of dread is what brought her in the hospital and saved her life.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I feel like men can, like, discredit, like,
yeah.
you know, things that they don't understand on that level. I don't
mm-hmm.
know. That's just a small yeah. thing I noticed with her case.
Yeah. And I think I was going to ask you too, because when she brought up, like, she had a feeling as almost like a premonition,
yes.
I wanted to pose the question of, like, do we think that that's something real? Because I know that many people can sometimes think, oh, it's, you know, that's not a real thing, or I don't believe in that. But what do you think? Do you think kind of this feeling of, as she put it, a premonition is something that is believable?
Well, yeah, I think we have two cases in here where we're seeing a divine order in things between intuition and miracles. So when it comes to intuition, absolutely, because like we saw, intuition brought her in there. Like, yes, she was feeling dizzy, this and that and the other, but had this worm gone untreated, maybe she really would have died. So I absolutely, more than anything, I want to be able to trust my gut over anything I read, anything I see, anything somebody tells me. I'm huge on trusting my gut. So I would love to be able to walk into a space and feel comfortable about being like, I had this feeling of dread come over me. I felt it. I feel like it was a premonition of death. I should be able to say that and be received on a serious level. I that would be my expectation, because I do believe in that.
Of course. And I think like true gut instincts and even these kinds of feelings of overall dread and premonitions are real. They might not be as fantasized as entertainment and media sometimes makes it out to be, but I think that there are those feelings that people just come across, and they know that it's something to be taken seriously because of how it really hits them. So I think that's definitely something that could be believed in.
Yeah,
sure.
And people have a hard time with it because it trumps science. And we saw that twice.
We saw that today.
You know, so it trumps science, and that's something that people have a hard time with. And, you know, again, I really do feel like they intentionally put this small little undercurrent of the female intuition and the men's logic, like, in there because, you know, with Sadie Barnes even being a female patient, it's very relevant, and it goes beyond science. So sometimes it's really hard for logical people to wrap their mind around, however it should be considered. Again, that's why I'm glad Park and Lim were both there.
Yeah.
Because even Lim, for a moment, she was like, all right, even if it is logical, let's just sit down and put her at ease.
Yeah.
Great.
And our last point was the kind of the sad, I don't know, I had a lot of emotion with this when there was that moment of Sean solving the case, letting Sadie know that she isn't going to die because it's not cancer. And Dr. Han has this small moment of like, good job, but he still won't let Sean return to surgery. And then we have that very sad moment of Sean just kind of looking over the surgery. What did you think of this kind of wrap up of this storyline?
Yeah, I was really disappointed. I was kind of hoping we were going to see some resolve, like Han coming to his grips, like, you know what? Oh, he is valuable. He is this. But to say, oh, you're needed in pathology so you can save all the Sadies. It's like, dude, he had to step out of pathology to communicate that. And you're making it hard on him. And I think Sean thinks outside the box. It's almost equivalent to the intuition thing. The way he sees things and the way things appear to him allow him to come up with other solutions and possibilities. He looked on her social media page, found out she was a food person, found out the last restaurant, what their ratings are. Like, who, none of y'all even thought anything close to that type of a research.
He had to go behind the scenes and do a very roundabout way of getting information because he couldn't talk to the patient. They could have very easily asked her her history.
I think that's foolish. It's, to me, it doesn't really make sense. So if you're going to keep Sean in pathology, like, even for me, okay, like if I was Han and I was really feeling like, you know what, I'm not sure that Sean could be a surgeon, what I would try to do as a leader and somebody, I don't know, with a heart, because I know sometimes heart don't go into business, but, you know, kind of find a way to almost marry the two. And which is almost like a teeny tiny glimpse what we got at the end. Not like Sean's going to be, you know, head of surgery, but I did like seeing him stand up there because he deserves to be in the room. He wanted to be in the room. But
oh, see, I have like an opposite.
Oh.
Well, not like, I think he deserves to be in the room, but I think it was torturous to watch him watching them because it was,
because he's on the outside.
Because he's on the outside, and that's not where he wants to be. He wants to be able to be the actual person fixing someone. And that's what he said continuously throughout the episode, is I want to fix people. And it was just very emotional because while, yes, Han makes a point that there is a way to help save people in pathology, it's just Sean has this drive and this goal to be a surgeon. And I'm sure we've been in that situation many people have been in that situation before where it's like they have a goal and someone's just in front of you telling you, you're not going to get it. You're not going to be able to do it. Right. And I think it was that relatability that made it emotional, at least for me.
Me too.
Where it was, because he's basically telling him, you're not good enough to be a surgeon. You're not good enough to be a surgeon because you can't handle this. So do this. And if it were a different situation where, you know, maybe the person was like, oh yeah, you know, you're right. I am better at this. That's not the case here. And that's exactly why it was so emotional.
Right. And I'm kind of wondering or hoping, like, can they marry the two and come up with something unique for Sean? Mm-hmm. He's a unique individual. Because even, I wish I would have remembered her name, but I don't. The new character with the curly hair in Pathology.
Carly. I think her name is Carly.
Carly? Okay. Carly, thank you. But even she was like, okay, that's not our process. Like, that's not what we do. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, well, next time. And he's like, I'm going to go talk to her anyway because that's what they do is talk with the team. So if he's not allowed to leave Pathology and has to move on, maybe they can create some space in the middle where he can take it to his team.
Yeah.
Because they need that. Mm-hmm. Cool. If he has to be in Pathology, let him do all the discoveries, the detective work, as they call it, and mm-hmm. all this and that. But instead of having him move on, maybe allow him to work with the team. If he can't talk directly to the patients, maybe he can give Claire some mm-hmm. questions to ask. But he should definitely
be involved.
Be involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked a lot so far about intuition, and I think we should go into our next kind of storyline that dealt with Claire, Morgan, and Melendez and their patient. But before we get into that, everybody, Jamie has a special announcement.
I do. Yes, guys. So before we jump into talking about that, I just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. So for us to continue to grow, we need your help. So if you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. Or if you're listening on iTunes, please give us 5 stars. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment, join the discussion. We love reading your comments. And I'm going to shout out some of you cool people who have left us some awesome comments and joined our discussion. But, you know, being a part of AfterBuzz has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate your support in us doing what we love. So don't forget to tell your friends, and please keep enjoying our shows. And let me give you a special shout out to some of our fans. We have GC Swift 2 in the building. Thank you for participating. Paula Arteaga, I hope I said that right. You know who you are, girl. Girl, I think. That sounds like a girl's name. If not, I'm sorry. TP and Glow Loves Jomo and Sean Cunningham. Thank you so much for joining the discussion. We love you, super fans.
Yes, thank you, Jamie. That was awesome. And just a quick shout out to everyone joining our discussion right now on our live chat, of course. Glow Loves Jomo. Thank you so much for tuning into the YouTube comments as well as our live chat. And then thank you as well to Jazz41173. We thank all of you for joining and being a part of our discussion. It means so much.
Amen.
All right, let's talk Claire, Morgan, and Melinda.
The founder of Panasonic once said,
"We can lead more meaningful and constructive lives
through the pursuit of activities that will ensure
a better today than yesterday,
a better tomorrow than today."
Panasonic is committed to creating a greener,
more equitable future
for everyone.
Explore Panasonic Green Impact
at na.panasonic.com/greenimpact.
And this.
That was a lot.
It was a lot. And I found, I don't know, I was watching it and I was kind of watching and thinking, how am I going to talk about it? I don't know, because like religion is a tough topic for some people, because it's like some people either are totally believe it and some people do not, as we saw with Claire and then Morgan and Melinda. So what did you think overall of this case, Jamie?
Well, I'm on the show God Friended Me, which comes on Sundays. So I'm very much into being on the front lines of seeing how TV is now incorporating God. And so two things. We did see a religious man, but for me personally, sometimes when I think of God, I don't think of religion at all. Mm-hmm. So some people use the words like the universe or God or prayers, meditation, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's different words, but I still think there's a healthy amount of people who believe in a divine something. So we have that on this side, but then we have this religious man. So I think it was pretty hard for them to understand where he was coming from, again, on a logical level. However, from like a divine level, look at what actually happened. Like if they have something that they can't explain. And when you have something that you can't explain, especially coming from someone who claims to be mm-hmm. a man of God and be in prayer, it's one of those things you have to consider, just like the intuition, whether you believe or not. What's in front of your face is the facts, mm-hmm. even if the facts don't make sense. So I did enjoy their discussion on it. I did feel for Claire because, you know, I grew up Christian, but first she said that she didn't go, then she said that she did, and then when she was asked what it felt like not to believe in God, that it felt like losing a loved one. All of that was just really deep. Mm-hmm. That really seemed to hit home in a different way, and I think that even caught Melendez and Morgan in a certain way, especially because Melendez did grow up in Catholic Church.
I think it's also just because Claire doesn't talk about herself growing up. And right. I mean, we have gotten glimpses of what it was like for Claire growing up. So at the same time, it makes sense maybe why she stopped believing.
Yeah, there's so much more to this woman. And I think when you start to talk about God and religion, it does start to unravel pieces of people that, you know, we don't see from the surface. Like the pastor, for instance, like I believe he really believed he was being punished. And even that, it's a sensitive thing because it's what he believed. So, mm-hmm. you know, that is what it is. But for him to be fighting, you know, I don't know. It's hard to talk about spiritual things because sometimes it's more of a feeling than facts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I just understood where he was coming from. And I just appreciated that they were bold enough to put something like this in a show and suggest that God is real and he performs miracles through prayer. Mm-hmm. Just that they even put that in there, I like it because, I live that life that way. I've never seen some huge grand miracle or anything, but, you know, I believe in God and I believe anything could happen, which mm-hmm. we saw. So yeah. It's just kind of like, I don't know, whether you believe or not, we're just looking at what's in front of us and this is not a new mm-hmm. case. This has happened before.
Yeah. And when it comes to this too, there are so many ways, like you were saying, Jamie, to think about religion. Like you can just have a spiritual belief in a divine being, like you were saying, where some people can practice and believe in scripture and teachings. And there's so many things that people can be a part of. Like it's not if you are religious, you kind of are the dictionary definition of religious. You know, there's so many different ways to be a part of it.
Right.
And so I thought that was really interesting too, because obviously he's a pastor. So he probably, you know, he knows a lot of scripture. He knows a lot of, he has a lot of faith. And obviously the other thing that I found interesting about this case is the guilt that he felt for the friend, or I forgot exactly
the partitioner that came to him for help.
Yes.
And he didn't pick up the phone because he was drinking that day. He had a long day. Not drinking. He had a drink. Let me not make mm-hmm. the pastor drunk today. But, you know, I also believe that we do hold things in our body. I believe that 100%. Small example, and I don't want to go too far off topic, but I think Khloe Kardashian had said that, you know, throat cancer didn't run in their family, but they believed because Robert, the dad, after working on the OJ case, after not being able to speak, mm-hmm. say the truth, say what's going on, say this, say that, you know, they believed that he was holding something in his throat and died of throat cancer because he couldn't speak. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's an odd correlation. But I'm saying the same thing for this pastor. I believe you can manifest. Now, we know that the tumor had something to do with it, but I believe that you can manifest a pain like that with the guilt if you think that you did something and God is punishing you. I believe all kinds of disease can manifest through your thoughts. And that's a heavy one. If you think the person that is all-knowing, omnipotent, omnipresent, and all that literally has something against you, like, I can't imagine mm-hmm. what that would do to your body as a human.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And as we saw with the almost kind of cure of his cancer, with the tumor just shrinking, it is one of those things where there are so, like, for someone who is more on the logical sense, who bases stuff more on facts and scientific reasoning, it is strange how all these things kind of correlated and came to this final product of this man with cancer. And then how it all kind of came back with his, you know, faith, and then how he was miraculously cancer-free. And Claire didn't even want to say miracle.
No, she didn't even want to say the word, but this is healing that we got to witness on many different levels. Healing of the mind, the soul, for old things, his body. Like, there was so much layers to this healing that went on. And it just is what it is. Sometimes you just, but again, that's why I like having different personalities in the room, because just because one person can't see it that way or doesn't want to see it that way, sometimes there's like a few people around you that can say, well, you sure you don't want to say the word? You sure it's not that? Like, well, I guess, you know, because Morgan was very positive. She seemed excited about the miracle.
Yeah.
How else can you explain without the radiation it going from a 4.5 centimeter or inch from 8?
Yeah.
You know, it just became a different story, and he was very insistent on them going back in. So whatever his healing process was, he was a little bit more in tune than he thought. So was Claire. So was Morgan. So was Melendez. Mm-hmm. They're just more in tune than they thought. And I think this was just a really good way to... Yeah, put a little God on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're talking about a lot of positive
outcomes
this episode. This patient is now cancer-free. Sadie turns out to not have cancer. And Glassman finished his chemo.
Woohoo! He rang the bell.
He rang the bell. And that was such a sweet moment to see, because he has always felt so alone in this journey. He always said he felt embarrassed or ashamed from kind of going from this man who was the president of a hospital down to this guy who, you know, has a very severe illness and he can't take care of himself. So it was very sweet to see him embrace that community.
Yeah. Again, there was a lot of healing in this episode, because for him, I love when he smiles. I love when he's happy, you know, so him, the ringing the bell and, you know, going to meet Debbie, getting his little chocolate chip cupcake. I just like seeing him in a positive mood, because we can all relate. You know how it feels to be going through something that's not so great, and you finally get a fresh wind of like some good air. It's like, let's go kick it. Let's go. I want to sell. I'm feeling good. And it's nice to see that from him.
Don't get me wrong. I love seeing him happy, and the fact that he, you know, can embrace happiness and wants to go out and celebrate not having chemo anymore. But I do have to say, he is a man who heavily goes back and forth.
Oof.
And that's kind of what, you know, brings Debbie into the situation with her making her decision. What did you think of her decision to kind of keep to herself, to not re-enter Glassman's life?
I'm glad, because I love Glassman, but we're not going to be playing around here, Aaron.
Aaron!
Sir, because as a woman, it's just like, she was so mature and straight to the point. I love that she came back and told him the truth, because he needed to hear it. And so there were a few things with that. I was disappointed in him, because, what is she supposed to do? Like,
drop everything and go back to you? Yeah.
Yeah, and then he's talking about, well, it's not like we're going to go get married in Reno. Da-da-da. It's like, well, yeah, what are we going to do? Just go out, have fun, because you're cool, and then you're going to drop me off? Like, this is our first date at the prom, and then what? You know? Like, if we can't be there for each other and be together, it just doesn't make sense. And he sure as heck didn't even go after her. So I think Debbie made the right decisions. Like, he's sweet, but no real woman has time for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No,
not
it's,
sorry.
I agree. I think she made a very responsible and wise choice for herself, because, you know, we as an audience have seen his journey. It's been full of ups and downs. When he's positive, he's incredibly happy. When he's negative, he's at the lowest of his low. And if he can't handle to have someone in his life be a part of both sides, then he shouldn't have anybody. And Debbie saw that. She acknowledged that, bad things are going to happen. Things might still happen to you. Things are going to happen to me, and what's going to happen?
Introducing Batiste Sweat-Activated and Touch-Activated Dry Shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste dry shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
When that comes, are you just going to shut down? So I thought she made a very responsible decision for herself, because, like you were saying, she can't enter that and just constantly be going back and forth.
No, nobody has time for that. That's rude. Don't even ask. No. So there was two things here. I love the way she gave him a little bit of grace. I did, when she first started talking, like, you know, you were so harsh, you kicked me out, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. I did want her to understand a little bit, because he was going through something. So yes, if somebody's going through something, they might do something that doesn't feel right for you. But with her standing at the door, he had an opportunity to reconcile that. But that's not where his head's at.
No,
so.
His head was too much on let's celebrate. It wasn't, I'm sorry I did this, I'm working on it kind of thing. He didn't try to, like you were saying, reconcile the situation. So he's got a lot of growing to do.
Yes.
Good for Debbie for doing what she had to do. Before we go into our special segment, do you have any final thoughts on tonight's episode?
No, not, you know, I think we pretty much covered everything. This was a really jam-packed episode. They did a really great job. I enjoyed it. And yeah, we'll talk about the rest in predictions.
Oh yeah. A lot happened this episode. A lot of emotion this episode as per usual.
Right.
Well, everyone, Good Doctor fans, we always like to take a moment to acknowledge a real-life Good Doctor. It's a special segment we've been doing on this show for quite some time now, and it's because there's so much good going on in the world, but we don't always just acknowledge doctors. It can be nurses, it can be technicians, or in this case, we have a special organization of medical experts who we would like to highlight.
Yes, and I'm so excited for this. So, you guys, this is from the Good News Network, and we were really excited to share this. I love it. So, ambulance volunteers have granted thousands of senior patients dying their wishes for free. So, the Ambulance Wish Foundation is a Dutch charity known as Stitching Ambulance Wins, and they're using their medical transportation to help immobile seniors or hospice patients check off one final item from their bucket list. How sweet is that?
I love this.
So there's a team of 270 medically trained volunteers. The organization facilitates 5 or 6 trips for dying seniors every single day. And so just a word from the founder, Kees Veldboer. He said, the Ambulance Wish Foundation shows that people who are terminally ill and bedridden can have joy. Even if they are sometimes so ill that they pass away on the same day, or as in many cases, a few days later, our foundation adds a quality of life to last days. That is so kind and that is so sweet, because I think sometimes, you know, when people are in hospice, not to say we give up on our loved ones, but we kind of feel like that's their way out the door. And these people are taking them to zoos, aquariums, museums, like all these cool places so they can laugh, enjoy, and indulge before they cross over.
I love it.
It's great.
I absolutely love this. I think it's so special for these patients to have that last moment. It's one of those things where they can feel like they are ready to pass on because they had this last cherished moment. So I love what this charity is doing. Thank you so much for doing this. And again, everyone, if you have a doctor, a real life good doctor, nurse, technician, or medical experts doing stuff like this, please let us know. We would love to highlight them. All right, Jamie, let's go into some rapid fire predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, so I do think, even though it seems really kind of hardcore right now, I think people are going to still keep pressing on Han about this Sean situation. So I don't know what kind of compromise everyone's going to come to, but the Sean and Han thing is not over. I also think that there could possibly, if not next episode, the episode after, be some reconciliation between Glassman and Debbie. Hopefully he has a realization and gets a little dose of maturity. Maybe he'll have a conversation with Leah. It was good to see her back in this episode, by the way. And I think we are going to see some kind of something from Sean. I almost thought he was going to quit this episode, but I don't know what Sean's going to show us, but it's going to be something emotional, maybe something drastic. He's either going to grow or bail out. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I definitely think, obviously, this thing with Dr. Han is going to continue into the next episode. Next week, we're obviously going to be seeing Melendez's perspective because he calls Sean into the OR. He needs his mind and his wits to help him with this patient. And I wonder, but I'm very curious. Han seems like a man who sticks to his guns. And so I'm very curious if he's going to bring Sean back into surgery or if he's going to keep him in pathology. Who knows? We don't. We'll just have to watch next week. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We appreciate it so much. Jamie, where can the fans find you on social media?
Yes, you guys can find me on Instagram at Jamie Alexander.
And everyone, I'm Veronica Valencia. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @itsme_Veronica_V. Again, thank you so much, Good Doctor fans, for tuning in to the Good Doctor After Show. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to tune in next week.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.